Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're now in part 37 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. We have several letters, responses, and the person, Stuart Hamlin's testimony. Stuart Hamlin wrote songs like This Old House and Those Who Wait Upon the Lord Shall Renew Their Strength, They Shall Mount Up With Wings of Eagles, all kinds of songs like the most fantastic Christian songs. And we've got his testimony here today, or tonight, whenever it is that you're listening to this broadcast. And so you want to stay in tune, and you're going to want to know even further how to have God's life living in you. This is part 37, and this was program number 139. So if you want to order it, you can email us or call us or fax us and get it, and we'll show you four different ways on how you can receive a Bible if you're not able to buy one, Messiah books or all the literature that I've written that God has given me, and these tapes and CDs. And incidentally, you can hear these tapes or CDs again and again and again if you just visit our website. And that website number is?
AlamoMinistries.com.
AlamoMinistries.com. I'm from the old school. It's kind of hard for me to remember all these CDs, DVDs, websites, and the web number. I mean, I just get all confused on it because I don't even know how to turn the websites, I mean, these computers on. Plus, I don't see much these days, and therefore there's other people that work the websites for me. Now let's all go up to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service and anoint me, Lord, and anoint it right into the people's hearts, into their spirits that are listening. Lord, that the souls out in the world that are listening can be saved, and that the church, which is your body, the body of Christ, can be edified, that is, strengthened, lifted up, and no more of the things that are wrong in this world, and no more of the things that are right from your word. We don't know right from wrong if we don't know your word. And there's no way that we can have your power unless we consistently hear or read your word. So Lord, we ask that you win all these souls and strengthen the church in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Hyderabad, India.
Okay.
Dear World Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus, who loves us so much in this spiritual age. I have received much of your literature, and I have been praying to the Lord to convey His choicest blessings to you for bringing out such wonderful literature. I am strengthened spiritually by reading them. In my daily services, I have been among Hindu brethren and sisters teaching the Word of God. It is my routine work, and some Hindu families have accepted our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, as their only Savior. Dear Pastor, I am daily praying for your services among many nations. I am earnestly praying for your outreach services. Please be kind and pray for my service. Pastor, please accept me as your co-worker and help me to promote this ministry.
Oh, yeah. Heavenly Father, anoint his ministry, his services, in Jesus' name. Then what?
With these needs of the ministry, I have approached you for your kind help. Pastor, please send not less than 100 copies of your literature for distribution in our area, for the winning of many more souls.
Or we'll be more than happy to send you 1,000 of them, you know, just whatever you ask for. And the more that you distribute, the better it is. The souls will be saved. Then what?
Your brother in Christ, S. Suresh, from Hyderabad, India.
All right, then where's the next letter from?
From Malawi, Africa.
Okay.
Dear sir, a grateful thanks to God and all of you for sending me the news of Tony Alamo Ministries. These literatures are very powerful and useful in our daily lives. Our brothers and sisters were helped by the materials that you sent to me last time, and we still have your materials in our library. Praise God for the wonderful materials that you produce. Tony, many people of the team of Christ Seekers of Truth are desirous of your clothing that you send out to the loved ones. I got one from a brother in Christ, Maluso. Please do so to us also. We will be sending you the photos of how we use your materials. We regularly go for crusades by foot, but we need your materials to be read and received in our area during open-air meetings. Our congregation likes literature and books from the Tony Lomo Ministries, especially our youth. They are growing higher and higher and gain deep understanding how to stand upon our Lord's words and how to live a holy life. Please place my name on your mailing list of those who receive materials from you. Please send me your tapes, books, literature, and Bibles for distribution in the areas of Tumbi, Bolero, Kawaza, Lundu, Kama, Nohozo, and Bata. I will be thanking you if you can do so. Do not forget the clothing that you send. We are most appreciative to the Lord and to the Tony Lomo Ministries. May God bless us all under His ministry. Yours in Christ, Innocent, from Bolero, Malawi, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Okay, then where's the next one from?
From Georgia. Dear Pastor Lomo, how are things going for you? I know that you are very blessed and stay very busy with the work of the Lord. There are so many praise reports that I have, but I will only tell you a few. I first of all have the first time in my life really started to see who God really is. Your literature and radio broadcasts have helped me tremendously. I know that God has called me to be a minister of His word, but I had to get saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. I have been passing out your literature every time I get it, and it has helped so many people in here. I have people listening to your radio broadcast.
In here, this is from a prison, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then what?
I received in the mail about a week ago the stations that you broadcast on. I did not have a radio, so I tried to find someone that would pick up an AM station. Well, there was none. God knew how bad I wanted to hear your messages. I tried to get your tapes when I was in Oklahoma prison, but they would not let them come in. Well, it just so happened one morning when I woke up, they had brought someone from medical into our dorm. He was trying to sell a radio, so I took the little bit of money I had and purchased this radio. This radio just so happened to pick up the 860 AM radio station here in Atlanta, Georgia. I have been extremely uplifted by the messages on the radio. One of the brothers in here, Robert Hahn, also has his grandmother listening to them. There are many other things that God is doing, but I do not have enough paper to write it all down. I was listening to the radio broadcast today, and you were discussing about foods that we should not eat. I do not eat pork anymore after I read Isaiah chapter 64 and 65. You were also talking about the fat in foods like processed meats and turkey sausage.
Right, I don't really get into that much anymore. I've been into health studios since 1955. And before that, I was into health foods when I was about 19 years old. And in the organization, the health clubs that we ran, we had 300 health clubs. There was, at first we had 80 men's and 80 women's. And then we branched out and had 300 of them. It's called the American Health Studios in Silhouette Figure Form International. And we sponsored the Mr. America contest and Mr. Universe contest, and then the people that were in that with me went on to open up family fitness centers, and then they also Ray Wilson, who created the Life Cycle, sold it out to Bally's, and then sold their health spas out to Bally's, and then he got involved with 24-hour fitness. And they just sold them for $1.6 billion. But I left that organization many years ago. But back then, I used to tell people about health and health foods, and I see a lot of new people that I know, they're not even 50 years old yet, but they're talking about different health foods and things, and they're saying some things that are absolutely right, but there's a few things that they say that are absolutely wrong as well. And you know, the proof is in the pudding. If you have trained Mr. Universes and Mr. America, I think those are the ones that know best what to eat. And Miss Americas and Miss Universe and Mr. Universe as well. And so we were the first, and we were, you know, with the experience that we have, Bob Del Monte, he's just done a tape on diet and the proper way to eat and how to stretch and the proper exercise and all these different things. He's been with the health spa, our health studios, since 1955 as well. And so, you know, so I do know, I don't get into it that much like these people like are doing on television, but, you know, I do have, I mentioned a little bit of the things that I know, and this is what this man is responding to. Okay, then what?
As you know, I'm in prison at this time, and all they feed us is processed meat and garbage. The other day on your broadcast, you were talking about not eating any meat because of the plagues.
Well, I didn't say don't eat any meat. I said you eat chicken and fish. At least you can eat chicken for a little while longer, and turkey and things like that. But the Lord told me not to eat any dairy. I mean, no butter, no cheese, no things like that. And he told it to me. So there must be something terribly wrong with it. And everybody in the church went on the same diet, and a lot of them that had asthma, they couldn't breathe or anything like that. I didn't know. I love beef, especially steaks, you know. And I love beef stew and all that, but I just cut it out because the Lord said to. And when the Lord tells you to do something, you know, something really terrible could happen to you if you don't do what he says. People are just downing cheese, you know, pizzas and stuff like that, white flour with cheese on it. That's dairy. And then they eat this pepperoni, which is pork. And, I mean, all that white flour. Even a rat won't eat white flour. Try to feed it to them sometime and see, because they'll die if they eat it. And if you keep eating pizza, you know, there's a man that just did a whole series. He lived on McDonald's hamburgers or something for 31 days. Was it McDonald's? Yeah. And he got close to death from eating that stuff. And can you imagine how horrible it would be, how close to death a person would be if they just ate pizza every day? It's going to clog. The white flour alone will clog you up. It's like got embalming fluid in it. And the cheese, back where I'm from in Montana, the Indians call it choke'em tail. It'll choke you up. Okay. I mean, you know, let's face it. We're living in a world now where something like this would not be embarrassing to you. We just everybody's just so open, you know, to talk about things like that. But I don't want to hold it back for me, because it could kill you. And a lot of people are winding up with diabetes and all that sort of stuff from eating all the cheese and white flour and pork and soda pops and all that kind of stuff. You know, stay off of that stuff. And bread, white bread especially, don't eat too much of it, okay, if you want to survive. Because it's got, it is, no matter what you think, it's usually, I could go on for hours with it, so I'm just going to get back into the gospel. But it is biblical to talk about a few of these things, but not to make a religion out of it. But religiously, if I were you, I'd stay away from dairy. I'll probably get sued by the dairy industry, you know, for saying that, but I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. I love ice cream, and I love butter, and I could sit down and eat a whole block of Kraft American sharp or extra sharp cheese. I would do that with some crackers, and I got to be about as big as a horse. And my health started failing on me, but ever since I stopped that stuff, I'm better, a lot better, okay? And you will be too, and everybody in the church is.
Amen.
Yeah, you can breathe easy, right?
Yes.
You don't wheeze anymore, right? She's just a young woman here, and I'm saying you don't wheeze anymore. She really didn't before, okay? I like to say a little joke now and then. Okay, what else does the letter say?
I'm not wanting to eat this food in here. I've requested to be put on all vegetarian diet. I have not received this diet just yet. Is it possible for you to send me any amount of money so that I can buy healthier items off the commissary?
Yeah, I already told, I've heard this letter just a couple of days ago, and I told him to send him $40 a month. We send to prisoners that don't have any money I was in prison for the gospel, and I know that it would be horrible if you didn't have any money in prison. You wouldn't be able to get hygiene or something decent to eat, because a lot of times I'd be in, go to chow and it's ham hocks or some horrible stuff, you know, and that's made out of pork. I forget what they call that soup. Menudo. Oh my God. The guy that's standing there, everybody in there knew that I didn't want it. They'd always ask me, can we have your menudo soup? Yeah, and you can have my pork chops too. Everything. So I would have money and I'd go to the commissary and get myself some tuna, cans of tuna, and eat that and fruit and different things like that. So I was just thanking and praising the Lord that at that time they still had that. But the general public thinks that everybody in prison is guilty of some kind of crime. A lot of them are, but there's a lot of people, such as myself, that was in there that were totally free from guilt of anything that I should have been in prison for. And they took the vitamins and minerals. You used to be able to get vitamins and minerals and protein in there, and they took that out. The general public has been dirtied by the media and the government to make say let's just really make it rough on them. But you people don't realize that there's a lot of people in there that are not guilty, and you're making it rough, and it's rough on their families. Many people, their whole families and kids are suffering horribly. And that's why I say to you people in prison that if your loved ones out on the streets need food, or they need clothing, or your children need birthday presents, it'll come from us. It'll come from you. We'll say that it comes from you, and we'll send them a Bible and literature. And also at Christmas time, you just send us, if you want them to have clothes, they're the sizes, whether it's a male or a female. And grandma, we get her dresses, just send us a size. And mom, you can have stuff too. We'll send you little presents and things. And it makes the people that are in prison feel real good. It doesn't matter if you were a criminal, God will forgive you if you repent and keep serving the Lord. And we will definitely help you out. And then, you know, we'll send you a few bucks for some commissary or for hygiene. All right? Now, test me out. See, we've been doing it for years now, all right? Just got to call us or fax us in or something and let us know where these people are. Even if you're from Colombia, we sent things over there to South America, to Mexico. Don't worry. God is on the throne, and the Lord will help you through his people. You don't have to go through any government agency with it or fill out any papers. Just send the name, address, and whether it's male or female, sons or daughters or loved ones, grandma, grandpa. We'll help. The Lord wants to help you and show you that there is people here on earth that have Christ with his Father by the Spirit living in them, and we will help you. And that goes for police officers. A lot of you don't get paid enough, and there's a lot of wicked people on earth, and I have a nephew that is the sheriff out in Montana, and he's a good nephew, and he's getting up there in years. But he's a nice guy, and he ministers to people. And I tell this to everybody. So I'm glad that I'm on the air now. And one thing that you people could do out there, too, if you really want to serve the Lord, call our phone number and find out the radio station that we're on in your area. Now, you probably already know, or you wouldn't be listening to this, or you may be seeing it on the website. And buy a little ad in the Penny Saver or something explaining to people that they could listen to this broadcast. Mention my name, and I'm extremely controversial, because you're considered controversial if you tell the truth today, because there's so few people doing it. But you could contribute to the Lord by buying a little ad in the paper, in the Penny Saver. Just say, here, Tony Alamo, tell it like it is, on radio station so-and-so, and so here in Wisconsin, or in Eugene, Oregon, or wherever you are. Or in Memphis, Tennessee, Nashville, New York. And the Lord will give you credit for it. Okay, and let me know if you did it. And millions of people will tune in, and they get saved, and you'll get credit for it from the Lord. Okay, so that way, you don't send in a tithing offering. That's a tithing offering right there if you do that, because look, we're out to win souls. It might cost you, what, $3 to $5 a week, something like that. Just a one liner or two lines, something like that, in the classified, or in a Penny Saver or a nickel. What do they call some of those papers? The Recycler. There's like millions of people that read those and put it in there, and God will bless you for it, okay? You'll say, well, how come you don't? Because look at, man, I just want to win souls. You understand? Okay. Hopefully you can understand that. Okay, then what he got here?
I do understand that I snatched a purse and was on drugs. That's why I'm in prison. I have repented of those sins. And according to Ezekiel chapter 18 and 20 and 33, it will be remembered no more. I know that I'm a child of God and that His Spirit lives inside of me. I wanted to write you and ask you a question about salvation. I was raised in church all my life. At the age of 7 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior and was baptized. At that time, I did not know the full truth. So was I saved?
Well, you know, you're saved if you ask the Lord to come into you and you knew that you were saved. But what you must realize is that the Lord, when you're saved, He wants to you to mature, to grow. It's like the seed of God was planted in you, but what happened to you is like there was a seed that you, like, say, for instance, a watermelon seed, you throw it in the ground. And then nobody watered you, nobody fed you, nobody fertilized you with the Word of God, and you didn't grow. And because you didn't grow, then temptation came, and you didn't know anything. There was no guide. That's the problem. You turn on Christian television, you hear them talking about their husbands and their wives and how to get along at home and all this kind of stuff, instead of talking about Jesus. If everybody gets saved, if they get the Spirit of the Lord in them, and they start listening to these broadcasts, you're going to grow on a daily basis. And just as you stated that you've grown immensely since you've been listening to the broadcasts and reading the literature that the Lord gives to me. And that's what didn't happen to you. You didn't have a guide, but God has raised up people now. Certain people, not many, but there's some of us that will tell you the truth, whether we go to prison for it, or whether they attack us, our character, or not. It doesn't make any difference to us, because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so you've got somebody to guide you now, and I've actually preached on thousands of tapes. They're available to you, and I've written hundreds of pieces of literature explaining the Bible. Once you read all this literature, it breaks down the Bible in a way that people say they've never heard before, and you're able to understand the Bible as clear as like cellophane. You can see it easy now. And the mystery of God is revealed, and the mystery of sin is revealed now. And so you were ignorant back then. You didn't realize that you had to grow. And you have to grow on a daily basis. And that's why people are blessed if they hunger and thirst for righteousness, if they hunger and thirst to find out what it really is that you must do in order to continue growing in the Lord and being saved. It's just like you throw a piece of corn into the earth, And it doesn't pop up overnight, but it takes a few days, and all of a sudden this little blade comes up. And then the blade grows into a stalk, and then there's little blades that come off of the stalk. And pretty soon, if you water it and nourish it and everything, then pretty soon ears of corn start appearing, and then they have to mature too until they are ripe and ready to pick and eat. And that's what you must do. You must completely die out to this world and read on and keep reading on and growing every day and listen and learn and do what the Lord says, okay? And communicate with your the Lord and examine your soul. Communicate with your own soul. Meditate and ask the Lord what you must do. Don't be driven, you know, it's like these people are so trained today to listen to, if I say white, say the opposite, black. If I say blue, the opposite, gray or something, you know. And people are just so busy into such trivia nonsense as that, instead of communicating with their soul, meditating, getting a hold of the Lord, and letting your spirit grow by reading and praying. Amen?
Amen.
And listening to preachers who are anointed, that the Lord is outwardly anointing and talking through them. Do that and live. Okay, and then what else did you say?
When I turned 14 or 15, I started using drugs and alcohol. I then started getting in trouble from sex to drugs to crime.
See, that wouldn't have happened if you would have meditated. You could have had sex, you could get married, and you could have had a job. You didn't have to go out and snatch purses. And you could have been eating the Word of God and taking the Spirit instead of taking the drugs or stealing. You know, you could have had a nice family and everything. You've got some children, I know that. I've heard before. Okay, as a matter of fact, you're a wife. This is the man whose wife is one of the wives is staying in our church. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll be out soon, and he'll be able to be with his wife and children. Okay, then what?
I would always ask the Lord to forgive me for my sins. I just thought I was a sinner, and that is what I would be. I did not understand the difference between the flesh and the spirit. I didn't figure that out until later. To make a long story short, I didn't know the full truth and the power that lived inside of me to overcome this flesh. After I got out of prison the first time, I thought I was sold out to God. I started having Bible study, feeding and clothing the homeless, and many other things, while still in bondage to lust and other sins. I then tried to get baptized again because this time I thought I knew what I was doing. But shortly after that, I was back doing drugs and alcohol, ended up back in prison again, and that's when my wife came to your church. That's when I started reading your literature. There are a lot of things that I began to understand that I never knew before. I never in my life ever had a fear for God until now. I always thought in the past that Jesus' grace covered that. I know now that His grace is His power to overcome sin. In Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about no forgiveness for sins. How do you know if you have come to that point?
I don't think that you're quoting that right. The Lord does forgive sins, but He doesn't want you to sin anymore after you're saved. But you fell. And you fell because of the lack of preachers and teachers and pastors and prophets that were there to guide you and to preach the full gospel to you so that the fear of the Lord would have taken a hold of you. But if you repent, so to speak, it's like the prodigal son, right? You've been living in the pig pen. You've been thrown in prison. You've been taking drugs. You're ruining your health. You're separated now from your wife and children. And now you fear the Lord. And now continue doing that, and the Lord will make a way for you. The Lord will make a move for you now. And you will be forgiven for sins, these things, because you didn't have any guide. But you're in dangerous grounds because you lived a very wicked life. You have to make sure that you do everything that the Lord says to do, because a person doesn't fall away overnight. It's a gradual thing. And the Lord starts blessing people, and then they start taking on, they start thinking that they actually deserve the things that the Lord has given them. And the Lord only gave it to them as a blessing because they were serving Him. But when you stop serving the Lord, His Spirit departs from you. If you ever did it again, then you'd be lost forever. And so this is a warning. So you, if you were really not saved, you wouldn't be worried about it whatsoever. People that are not saved, they don't care anything about going to church. We have services every evening at 8 o'clock at our churches. And on Sundays, we have two services, 3 and 8. And we serve meals after each service. And it doesn't make any difference. If the whole town comes to eat, they're going to get to eat. Homeless can come, everybody, and we just feed them. And everybody says they're delicious meals and very nourishing meals, okay? And ours is like church missions. And those that want to serve the Lord and keep the rules of the church, some of them move in, and they want to stay here for the rest of their lives. And if they decide to leave, fine, go. Because we don't want anybody in our church that isn't completely sold out to the Lord. Okay, then what?
Would you be doing and obeying God's commands and sharing the gospel if you had come to that point?
No, you wouldn't be serving the Lord if you were lost. That's why I'm saying, if you feel like serving the Lord and you're distributing literature, the Lord sees you pressing on. And really, the Bible says that straight and narrow is the path. In the Greek, states that you actually have to squeeze yourself into the kingdom of heaven. You have to force yourself. You have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Word of God, which is the Holy Spirit, in order to get into heaven. And so if you continue on winning souls and learning and gaining momentum, power in the Lord by reading and praying and listening to the messages, you'll make it. But you must be nourished on a daily basis. I have a lot of people around me. If I wouldn't bring a message every day, they'd fall away. They just fall away. They just, sometimes when they put me in jail for witnessing on the streets or something like that, I'm gone for 2 or 3 days, and they are not getting fed the messages. Some of them are smart. They put the tapes on and they listen and re-listen to the tapes, and they stay put. They put old tapes on because it's like Bible, because it came down from the Lord.
Amen.
All right, and so that's they stay strong. They fight, and the Lord sees them fighting their way in. Now fighting. The Bible states that we're here on earth and we have to fight. There's no way that we can be passive and get into the kingdom of heaven. First of all, you know, the Bible tells us that Satan, the archangel in heaven, Michael the archangel, fought Satan in heaven, because nothing that has sin on it can stay in heaven. And it shows that God hates sin. But if you repent of your sin, then He loves the you that doesn't sin any longer. And so the Lord hates sin so much that He threw Satan and his angels out of heaven. Now, why would you think that if God threw the ark, covering angel, which was Lucifer, out of heaven because he sinned, what would make you think that you could get into heaven with sin on your soul, when God had one of his angels throw all sin and sinners out of there? And the Bible tells us that we have to resist Satan and go and sin no more. Otherwise, we're just we're worse than we were before, because there remains no more repentance for us. But the Bible says where there's no law, there's no transgression. If you didn't know what the story was, if you didn't know these things before. Well, now you do, and that makes you exceedingly guilty and exceedingly unable to make it into the kingdom of heaven if you would get out of prison. Because people would just say, yeah, he got jailhouse salvation. That's a well-known saying in prisons, jailhouse salvation. I got thrown in prison because I was saved. I was thrown in prison by the government because I was like a political prisoner. They trumped up charges on me that I was an abuser of the Internal Revenue Service, which was a dirty lie. They brought a bunch of false witnesses in on me, people that were put out of the church because they didn't want to serve the Lord. They were angry at me because I'm making a strong stand for the Lord. Well, in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, it talks about the two most hated people in the world are the two witnesses. Well, at this point, I believe I'm the most hated person in the world because I tell people the truth. Now, these two people in the book of Revelation were hated because they were bringing the gospel, because they actually irritated the people. Because they brought the condemnation of the Bible down on the world. And the world, the people of the world, sent presents one to another when Satan came out of the bowels of hell and threw different people and killed them. They were laying on the streets in Jerusalem. Well, I am like boycotted and everything because I war. I am at war against Satan, and I am attempting, through the power of God, to throw him out of the world. Now, God threw him out of heaven. And his angels, one-third of the angels in heaven. And now, God has declared war on these weasels in this world through me. Okay? I'm a very unusual pastor, preacher, teacher, evangelist, and prophet. How many people out there do you see preaching this gospel this way? Amen?
Yeah.
But this is the rugged... the rugged truth. Amen?
Amen.
This is a truth that seems to hurt so many people in the world. All right. But what does God do after 3 days and three nights? To show that these people were right, he raises them up from the dead and astonishes the entire world because the TV cameras are on them for 3 days and three nights. And people are shocked because they know they're dead. And nobody even wanted to put their bodies in the graves. And they sent presents one to another because they were so happy that these two witnesses that told them the truth were killed, were murdered. And then when they rose up from the dead, there was a huge earthquake. Amen. Everybody,
amen.
And the Spirit of the Lord raised them up, and the cloud took them up into the kingdom of heaven. Just as the cloud took Jesus up into the kingdom of heaven. This was the final merciful thing of the Lord to show people in the world that, yes, Jesus was in the world, he never committed a sin, and yes, the cloud took him up into the kingdom of heaven, and now these are God's two witnesses. And he picks them up, takes them in a cloud, and goes right in front of every one of the filthy people in this world that rejected the gospel, so that they can see that the gospel is true. And then there had been seven plagues, and now there's going to be seven more major plagues. And these wicked people, the evangelical supposed Christians, and these religions and everything that think they're right, they've been sent strong delusions to believe that they're right. Oh no! How they these two witnesses torment them with the gospel, and oh how glad they were to see them dead! They tormented them. Isn't that something? How the Word of God that leads people to repentance, so they can spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven and stay out of hell. That's tormenting to them. That shows how sick their demented minds are. All right? Now, listen, you in prison. You better listen to what the Lord says for me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now you may get some persecution. I'm sure you're going to get some persecution in prison if you really are distributing that literature in there like you say you are. There's going to be some people that love you. And then there's going to be the same kind of people that hate the two witnesses and hate anyone that's really telling it like it is. They're going to hate you. But you better stand firm. And if you get hungry, then don't be snatching anybody's purse or anything else like that. Just go to, come to our church and eat. We'll feed you 7 days a week. We'll even put you up if you really are sincere about serving the Lord after you get out of prison. Because I'll tell you, the officials in prisons don't really believe people that get saved in prison. They say, yeah, they're just saying this so that we'll give them a good report and they can get out. Jailhouse salvation. Those officials in prison, some of them said that about me, and I says, you people must be out of your minds. Don't you recall why I'm here? I'm here for preaching the gospel, all right? Mm-hmm. I didn't get saved here, friend. I got saved many years ago out in the world when I was there, and I was hating people, but now I'm preaching the gospel to you. And you know, some of those guards got saved because they knew that was the truth, that I was in the gospel. I was in prison. I was in the gospel before I went to prison. And when I was in prison, I didn't fall away. I was, I won hundreds or maybe even thousands of souls while I was in prison. And no matter where God puts you or allows you to be, you better keep on keeping on. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
When would you know, like Esau, when he sold his birthright for a morsel of food?
Oh, well, the devil is already talking to you, friend. He's already telling you that you're not saved. Do you think if you weren't saved that he would tell you that you're not? Hmm? If he would tell you that you're not saved, you're going to hell, well, then you'd repent. Satan isn't going to tell you that.
Amen.
Is he?
No.
He's not going to preach to you and tell you you're not saved.
Amen.
Because then you'd repent, right?
Right.
What he's going to do, he can't tell the truth. The reason he's telling you that you're not saved is because you are.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Don't be a mule. You're not supposed to let Satan dump his garbage into your brain. Believe the gospel. You're saved now and you're winning souls and you love hearing the messages. You wouldn't love the messages. You wouldn't want to get the gospel to people if you weren't saved. Certainly, Satan would like to discourage you and make you feel that you're not saved, so you say, oh, what the heck? I'm just going ahead and sin. I'm going to hell anyway. That's what Satan wants you to believe. But don't, you know, if you believe something like that, well, then you're believing the devil, just like Eve did in the Garden of Eden. That's what started all this. Now you shape up and believe your salvation, all right? If you weren't saved, God wouldn't give this message to me to say to you. Okay, what else?
In Hebrews, it warns us not to be profane like Esau. I, like myself, have people in this jail that have the question, is there any repentance for us?
Of course. What do you think the Lord came into the world? You were condemned before he came to the world. I was condemned. But Paul stated that he was the chief of sinners, the worst one, because he killed Christians and he profaned the Lord. But the Lord appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus and told him to stop fighting him. And he had a big bright light around him there, and Paul knew that it was the Lord just like I did, and he stopped doing what he was doing just like I did. And I'm in the ministry now 41 years. And the devil came to me with the same thing he's saying to you. But I guess you can tell, I'm sure you must be able to tell that I never listened to him.
Yeah.
Amen, because I'm still around. Amen.
Yeah.
You just keep doing what you're doing, but stop doubting your own salvation. And whenever the devil comes and tells you that you're not saved, tell him, no, you're the one that's not saved. The Lord's coming back to earth again, and you're going into the pit of hell, and you're going to fry forever and ever and ever. And pretty soon, you know, the devil will stop coming around to you because he doesn't want to be reminded about that. When you say things like that to Satan and you tell the blood of Jesus is against you, Satan, the blood of Jesus washed and cleansed my soul. You start mentioning the blood of Jesus and he'll depart immediately. You're the one that's going to burn. Satan knows that his time is short, and that's why he's full of rage. You can see all the violence on earth and all the filthy things going, because he's running scared. He's doing everything. He's acting wild. He's gone crazy. He's lost his cool. He's come out of the closet. Everybody can see him now. Right?
Right.
All right, so don't let him deceive you and live. All right, then what?
I personally know that I've been forgiven in my heart.
Well, then, if you know that, then why are you doubting, saying doubtful words? Don't say doubtful words. Say positive words. Amen?
Amen. Due to my ignorance of the gospel, the true gospel.
Right. The Lord forgives sins of ignorance. The Bible plainly states that, right?
Right.
But now you're not ignorant, right?
Right.
Okay. But you know, he won't forget that. Then what else?
But I need some real wisdom from you in this matter. Sometimes I have this battle in my mind, and I know that if I doubt, I'm damned, and if I have faith unto salvation, I know that only by faith, which is action, will get me into the kingdom now. James chapter 2, verse 24. God bless. Chuck.
Okay, Chuck, you got the real stuff here tonight. You really got the message. And there's so much more, so make sure you keep listening. If you have any more questions, feel free to write in, and I'll be able to maybe read them on the air so that people can hear. A lot of people are going through the same thing you are, and so everybody's being edified that way. Okay, and what else? Was there anything else?
The testimony from Stuart Hamblin.
Okay, I promised for you to hear the testimony of Stuart Hamblin, the great Christian songwriter. Go ahead, read it real fast.
Back in the 50s, there was a well-known radio host, comedian, songwriter in Hollywood named Stuart Hamblin, who was noted for his drinking, womanizing, partying, etc. One of his bigger hits at the time was, quote, "I won't go hunting with you, Jake, but I'll go chasing women." One day, along came a young preacher holding a tent revival. Hamblin had him on his radio show, presumably to poke fun at him. In order to gather more material for his show, Hamblin showed up at one of the revival meetings. Early in the service, the preacher announced, "There is one man in this audience who is a big fake." There was probably others who thought the same thing, but Hamblin was convinced that he was the one the preacher was talking about. Some would call that conviction, but he was having none of that. Still, the words continued to haunt him until a couple of nights later he showed up drunk at the preacher's hotel door around 2 a.m., demanding that the preacher pray for him. But the preacher refused, saying, "This is between you and God, and I'm not going to get in the middle of it." But he did invite Stuart in, and they talked until about 5 a.m., at which point Stuart dropped to his knees and with tears cried out to God. But that is not the end of the story. Stuart quit drinking, quit chasing women, quit everything that was, quote, fun, unquote. Soon he began to lose favor with the Hollywood crowd. He was ultimately fired by the radio station when he refused to accept a beer company as a sponsor. Hard times were upon him. He tried writing a couple of Christian songs, but the only one that he had much success was "This Old House," written for his friend Rosemary Clooney. As he continued to struggle, a longtime friend named John took him aside and told him, "All your troubles started when you got religion. Was it worth it all?" Stuart answered simply, "Yes." Then his friend asked, "You liked your booze so much. Don't you ever miss it?" And his answer was, "No." John then said, "I don't understand how you could give it up so easily." And Stuart's response was, "It's no big secret. All things are possible with God." To this, John said, "That's a catchy phrase.
It is a secret, though, because the secret that most people didn't know is you need to have the Spirit of God enter into you, the Spirit of Christ with the Father and by the Spirit, and you have the power in you to stop it. And that's no secret now. Okay, Stuart? Yeah. All right, then go ahead.
To this, John said, "That's a catchy phrase. You should write a song about it." And as they said, quote, as they say, quote, "the rest is history," unquote. The song Stuart wrote was, "It is no secret. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do." By the way, the friend was John Wayne. And the young preacher who refused to pray for Stuart Hamblin, that was Billy Graham.
Meditate about that for a while, huh? my late wife, Susie, knew Stuart Hamblin. That's how I heard about him. She had me singing all his songs on television. I sang "This Old House" and "Those Who Wait Upon the Lord Shall Renew Their Strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles," you know, and all the other songs that he mentioned there. "It is no secret what God can do," and so on and so on. All right, listen, let's start. Right, we got a few minutes left here. Let's begin with parts 37 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. All right, Sharon, let's go. Probably got about 2 minutes left.
As long as you keep the rules and regulations, that's all these old Christians care about.
Oh, well, now you're not. You're just starting out with something. We need to, starting in the middle of this message here, it just doesn't make sense to people that haven't tuned in before. And so this was quite, you'd have to listen to the couple of tapes before this to find out or to realize what Sharon's talking about here. But what it is that some people are full of, the religions are full of rules and regulations. But the people that are filled with the Spirit live after the Spirit, and there's no condemnation to those that live not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so there is the law of Moses, which is the law that God wrote with his own finger. He didn't even trust anyone to write it but himself. And that was the Ten Commandments, which never goes away. But the laws of sacrifice are over with because they only symbolized Christ. And so when he came, that was the end of that part of the law. And the Ten Commandments just takes up a little space, but the rules and regulations of circumcision and the rules and regulations of sacrifices and all the different holy days and all these different things, that's all wiped around because now what we're supposed to do is all wiped away because now we're to live in Christ, in the Spirit. And if we're in the Spirit and the Lord is in us and working in us and through us, we know what to do every second. What we're in is the Sabbath. And so what she started reading here, Sharon did, is that the religions, all that, it's just rules and regulations and like the people that are ahead of the beast, this is a world government which is ruled by Rome, the Vatican, Roman Catholic church or cult, and the media, they just have very strict rules that don't have any pertinence or anything to do with the Bible now because the Lord says, "I'm the Sabbath. Rest in me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls." That means Sabbath. So Sabbath is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit 24 hours, 7 days a week, every day of the year in the Spirit. And there is no rules with that. It's just like you're living, swimming in the heavenly Spirit of God, the heavenly water that flows from the throne of God that cascades down into your soul, into you and through you unto others. But rules and regulations are what the religions do. Oh, you've got to eat fish on Friday and you've got to observe all these holidays and all these ceremonies and rituals and things like that. Okay, continue on now that they know what it is. We've only got about one more minute here.
You don't care about the withering up of one of the members of the body of Christ at all, just as long as they keep the rules.
Yeah, as like Christ, he said he went in on the Sabbath day because he wanted people to know that now he's the Sabbath. So you Seventh-day Adventists, you know, repent. You know, there's no a day of Sabbath anymore. It's like every day is the Sabbath. The Lord did away with it. He now is the Sabbath. He says, come into me and rest. We must be in, the wine must be in us, and we must be in the wineskin. And Jesus is the wineskin. There's one body, one church, one God, one Lord, and one church, and that's the body of Christ. Well, I see my time is up. But hopefully, you know, some of these things that were said on this tape today were a blessing to you and help you grow some. Now, I promise that we tell you how to get a hold of this message, 139. Please specify whether you want a tape or CD. Tell them.
Contact us at alamoministries.com. Write to Tony Alamo, Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
So all you prisoners, you criminals, and some of you that were not criminals, that you're there because of lies that were told about you, you know, God will deliver you, and he'll forgive you right now for everything that you've ever done in your life. And he'll enter into you so that you have the power of God living in you. It'll be Christ entering you because he now is the Spirit, and his Father is with him and by the Spirit. And just say this prayer, and you'll be saved. And the Lord will enter you, and you'll have power then. The power or the grace of God, the power of God. And you'll have his wisdom. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, I'm calling upon you. Therefore, I know you've heard me. I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Now, just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, don't fail to tune in tomorrow because it'll be part 38 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And until then, keep looking up. Keep looking up the scriptures. Keep studying the scripture because they're your very power of the God will enter you as you read it. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.